Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
I'm going to make a Saquon Barkley lover out of you, John. I promise you. Yeah. You're going to love the signing.
Well, and by the way, I am a Saquon Barkley lover from a perspective as a person and a leader. Everybody loves Saquon Barkley. I just think they overrate him as a football player because he was the number two overall pick.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Friday's edition of Birds 365. Brian Cameron joins us now. Brian, sorry to keep you waiting. Welcome to the show, man. We appreciate you being here.
Hey, no worries. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to see John so animated. I've never seen that. I'm here for it.
Brian. I get frustrated with this off-season stuff.
You're allowed to, man. I love it.
So I guess we'll start there with Saquon. The assumption that, and I'm not criticizing the guy, in his rookie season, I think this is a weird disconnect with a lot of people that follow the NFL. The assumption that there's a bunch of running backs who are impactful in the passing game. Before his ACL injury, his best season, obviously, was his rookie season. He had 91 catches, which is phenomenal, for 721 yards, 7.9 yards per reception, and 4 touchdowns, which is very good for a running back. That's a phenomenal season for a running back catching the football. Phenomenal. What is everybody talking about with this? The thought that he's got to be more impactful. He's got to be ahead of a Dallas Goedert at times, or Devontae Smith. Forget about AJ Brown. I mean, AJ's one of the best 5 receivers in football. Where does this come from, Brian?
I think it comes from the obsession of the Christian McCaffrey 49ers offense, the idea of how they run things over there. And the moment Eagles signed Saquon, it was kind of like, okay, they got their version of Christian McCaffrey now in Philly, which I get, and I think it's a great idea. I just don't see this specific offense going in that way, just because since Sirianni's been here, it's been kind of like they go through the wide receivers. Like, Sirianni's a wide receiver guy. That's his bread and butter. I feel like they go through that more often than not. And we rarely see Jalen actually check down to running backs, or even we barely see them actually involve running backs into the game planning during Sirianni's tenure. It'll be great to see. I'm not going to lie. It'll be pretty awesome to kind of get that feedback, you know, how Darren Sproles was once part of the passing game a bit. But I don't see it being a full-time thing where he's going to have more than 300 receiving yards. I think they'll use them more so in the screen game. They'll use them, you know, little dump passes here and there, but it's not going to be a focal point just because of the amount of talent that you have at the wide receiver position, at your tight end. And then I feel like they have that third, that this great basket of options for the third wide receiver, where you have Anaya Smith, you have Paris Campbell. I'm not sold on Devontae Parker, but I feel like Anaya Smith and Paris Campbell alone, like, those can be good enough options where people are not going to be concerned about why Saquon not included in a passing game.
Brian, how do you make this offense avoid what happened down the stretch last year? Because I agree. I understand what Johnny Mack is saying. I agree with, you're not going to build a passing game around a running back, but let's assume that that's correct. How do you avoid what happened down the stretch last year offensively?
You go back to your roots. I feel like I said this a couple of times on Birds 365. You know, Sirianni was infamously known for bringing the garden into Philly, right? You go back to the roots, you actually figure out how to get rid of the weeds, and I feel like they did so. And not to throw any shade towards Brian Johnson, but it was, you know, you're a rookie and a team that was contending last year. But I feel like you have Kellen Moore now, you have the idea of what you want to do, and it's just a matter of, you know, not overthinking it. That's the whole name of the game. Just don't overthink what you have to do. Saquon, running back, give him the ball. Establish a run game and go from there. You know A.J. Brown's going to get the ball at least like between like 5 to 10 times a game. You know Devontae Smith's going to be right there with him. So don't be so obvious with what you're doing, especially with when you have a guy like Saquon there. Be a little creative. I feel like they got very stale last season. They got a little too ambitious with what they were trying to do. Just keep it simple. Get on the field, focus on getting the win, and just go from there.
It's just all come down. We always blame the offensive coordinator, and Brian's gone now, and now it'll be Kellen Moore's job. Before it was Shane Steichen and Nick Sirianni. And when things are going bad, you know, most fans don't want to blame their favorite players. So it's easy to blame the coaches. Easier, at least. Is this all on the quarterback and just utilizing this talent correctly on the field? Because the 2022 Jalen Hurts, Brian, was phenomenal. The 2023 version, it's good. Wasn't great. Wasn't close to 2022. If he plays at the level he did the year prior, we're probably not even talking about this, are we?
I completely agree with that. Jalen Hurts, I feel like he never looked comfortable at all last year in the offense in general. It felt like everything was more forced than it was natural. And then I think that injury that was lingering throughout the year really hindered his ability to kind of just be that dual threat back there.
Yeah.
We didn't see much running out of him, and when we did, we saw him giving up more often than not. But I feel like, you know, under Brian Johnson, it was just they overthought it. You know, you were overthinking everything that you had to do with Jalen Hurts. You know, the RPO game, I feel like, wasn't really there. There was no consistency behind it. They couldn't even figure out who their actual starting running back was going to be between Kenny Gainwell and DeAndre Swift at one point. But now, like, you know, things are in place where it's like it's more obvious than not who your guys are, who your playmakers are. And I feel like you have to go back to your bread and butter. Bring what Kellen Moore has on his mind and establish a little bit more RPO and just allow Jalen to just be free. In this offense, it seemed like it was too much overthinking. Everybody was just trying to get back to where they were in 2022, to the point where they had this terrible collapse.
Yeah, we'll see how it happens. I think the eye test proves that Jalen Hurts was not the same quarterback last year. The one thing I would say, though, is A.J. Brown still got 1,500 yards. Devontae Smith still well over 1,000. I mean, these guys are getting their numbers. Somebody's got to throw them the football. It's Jalen Hurts, so. From that perspective, I do think he was all right. And to my point earlier with John, that was part of what I was trying to get to is, you know, they can still get their numbers. It didn't get you anything down the stretch. So I'd like to see more options or more variation in the offense that would be able to prevent something like that. But Brian, let's move into the schedule. The schedule obviously came out Wednesday night. What was your first reaction to the schedule? To me, it looks a little bit more favorable this year. Some tough away stretches. But what did you think of the schedule when it came out?
I think it's very favorable. I mean, it's a great competitive balance. You're not facing so many so many great teams in a row. Like, we spoke about this on Flipping the Birds last night, where it's kind of like for every tough team you face, the next week you have a bounce back opportunity.
Yeah.
Where
you're, you know, faced out. Yeah, I mentioned that as well.
Yeah,
it's very out. Very convenient for them as opposed to last season. I know they're traveling a lot, but they have stretches where, like, I think it's two stretches of road games back to back, and it's just two of them, which is awesome. And then at the, you know, to the final part of the season, you have like in the last out of the last five games, or four of them are home games. So this is a lot more favorable, in my opinion. You know, you still have to go out there and do your job and actually make sure you guys put up W's. But this is a way better schedule than when they had last season, which means that, you know, with this talent, as long as everything goes as planned, they should actually, you know, we should possibly see another on the repeat of 2022.
Yeah, I you know, if they can persevere, because I have them at 11-6, my early sort of thought process, Brian, but I have them 6-6 and then running the table late in the season as the schedule kind of gets a little bit easier. And you mentioned four of those five home games. If they take their time to get ready, to kind of figure it out, if that's the way it shakes out, how much heat is Nick Sirianni at when they're 6-6?
You know, that's my favorite topic. I think it's going to be a lot of heat, because a report came out that Jeffrey Lurie was actually entertaining the idea of Bill Belichick, where they had a conversation or something like that, right? That doesn't happen if your seat's not warming up. I think that, and also on top of the antics on the field and off the field a bit, you know, the yelling at the Kansas City Chiefs fans, the him butting heads with the players because Dom is not there, which I find to be wild. Those kind of things, you know, an owner, a billionaire, does not want to trust a child with his home at the end of the day, right? You know, the fact that you need to have a babysitter, I feel like is a little ironic and is a little embarrassing. But if they don't pull it out, I think his seat is like scorching hot. But if they pull it off, then I feel like, you know.
But what for you, what would have to happen? In other words, you know, 11-6, you're going to make the playoffs.
Correct.
But if you're one and done, is that enough, just making the playoffs, or does Nick have to do more?
I think he has to do more with this roster. I mean, they invested a lot of money and a lot of talent into this roster. It's not one and done anymore. This is, you know, this is the foundational season where, like, you get into the playoffs, you have to make noise. You have to establish yourself as one of the top teams in the NFC. I feel like if you're one and done again, there's no possible way that Sirianni's back next season.
My problem with John's scenario is if they're 6-6, I'm not sure Sirianni would make it to the end of the year.
That's also fair.
And if that happens, then I don't see them running the table. Lurie doesn't fire Jeffrey's coaches. Just,
I don't think he would.
But boy, I tell you what.
Fire Chip late in the season.
Chip was one of the nine.
If they're 6-6,
they're not firing at 6-6. But there'll be tremendous heat. But Jeffrey wouldn't do it in season. But I do think, you know, you mentioned you're not the only one, Brian, the tremendous talent on this team. I think they have tremendous talent offensively. I think defensively, it's more like, all right, Bick will figure it out. I don't know if there's tremendous talent on the defensive side. There's some nice upside with Quinyon Mitchell now, Cooper DeJean, and even Kaylee Ringo, some of the young defensive backs, Sidney Brown, I'll throw in that equation. I think the linebacker situation, bottom five in the NFL, to be kind. They're not as deep on the defensive front as they typically are. People overrated the talent because they're only looking at the offensive side.
I don't disagree with that. And I'm in the same point where it's like, I'm a little, it's cringy, the defense. I think after losing Hassan Reddick, you kind of like, you're looking at the defensive line like, okay, you're giving Bryce Huff the keys to the car, right? You're trusting that he's going to go from a part-time player to a full-time role without any pain points. Josh Sweat had a bit of an interesting season last year. It seemed like he kind of checked out a little bit. We still don't know what we have in Jordan Davis. Jalen Carter is going to be a stud at some point. It's just a matter of when at this point. The linebacker core, I'm big on the Devin White signing. I love that signing for them. But N'Kobe Dean has been Johnny healthy.
A lot of people are mad at me because I don't like the Saquon thing and I don't like Devin White even a little.
You don't like the Saquon Barkley sign? I mean, I was driving. I pulled over on the road to celebrate.
Well, that's what I think. You know, I think people overrate the. Not that he's a bad player. I just think, you know, they had a 1,269-yard rusher. They had an 1,100-yard rusher. They had a Pro Bowler. My point is, you know, Brian, you're young enough to get 1,000 yards behind this offensive line. Now Kelsey's gone, so maybe it's a little bit more difficult. And by the way, Saquon's better than those guys. I try to emphasize that as much as possible. He's better than Miles. He's better than DeAndre. But I don't see the road to a massive increased impact at that particular position with this team. So it didn't make sense to me is how
Can I go back real quick to defense? Cause I want to ask both of you this. Does it matter that the defense didn't add that much talent? What I mean is if Vic Fangio can get them from bottom five to let's say between 15 and 20,
and I think he will.
The NFL is legislating defense more and more out of the game. Like, does it matter? Like, are we going to be the team we wanted to be last year if the defense can just get to middle of the pack and the offense can get rid of the turnovers?
I think we can. I think one thing that I've noticed with this, with how he structures is big money goes to offense and he's infusing youth into the defense, which I think is very key.
Speed as well.
I love the Quinion Mitchell selection. I love the Cooper DeJean steal. CJ Gardner Johnson's back. I'm not happy with how the safety group looks right now. I feel like they still need some firepower back there or some veteran leadership. Linebackers are iffy. N'Kobe Dean hasn't stayed healthy. And then they're very I guess Vic is very keen on Zach Bond. Being an inside linebacker, but the jury's still out on him. Devin White, like I said, I love the signing, but yes, the jury's still out on him, even though he did have some great years when he came to the league. He's kind of fallen off over the last two seasons. There's too many questions for the defense, but I feel like with Vic Fangio, like you had the disciples here, right? And they were good enough at one point. Like the Eagles were 10-1 before they pulled a plug on Sean Desai. Jonathan Gannon, when he was here, they ended up in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now with the actual the master of the product, like here, there has to be an advantage. There has to be something that these two disciples couldn't pull off that Vic's going to end up pulling off. And it makes so much sense that people are going to be underrating this defense and then they'll end up in the middle of the pack, I feel like.
I agree with overall. I've said that. That was one of my earliest predictions that Vic will have them at least competent, and that'll be a huge advantage because you should be able to win games with that offense if your defense is at least competent. And I think that's the goal, and it's probably a good one. Mm. With Devin, though, boy, that number five overall pick, man, that does not wash off. I mean, not that contracts are the be-all, end-all, but the guy's 26 years old and he got 1 year for $3.5 million. Doesn't that set off the alarm bells for anybody else in Philadelphia? Because I feel like I've been talking about this with Devin White and people are like, no, he was great in Tampa Bay. And he wasn't great. He was great in their Super Bowl run. Everybody in Tampa I talked to was like, this is a huge disappointment. Mm-hmm. But he is athletic. He's the most athletic linebacker the Eagles have had since at least Michael Kendricks. But man, I mean, there's no evidence of this guy being a big time linebacker other than that Super Bowl run, which was one of the greatest anomalies in sports. And then the second part, he was a second team All Pro because he had 9 sacks 1 year. And people love sacks. Vic doesn't blitz. He doesn't blitz his linebackers. He didn't get 9 sacks here. I the Devin White thing, there are two things I always say, Brian. One.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic, but today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and diminishing our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the kind of high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe. Like vintage-style tees, tough tank tops, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, shorts, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Normally, and Xander knows this, I get Howie's decision making. Normally, 90% of the time, I'm on board. I say that makes sense. That makes sense. That makes sense. There's a couple times this off season, I said that doesn't make sense. That's not an Eagles move. Devin White's one of them. Saquon Barkley's the other. That makes sense for me.
I get that. I have my theory of Devin White, where it's like the last two seasons, I feel like, I don't know if people know this, but weird speculation, throwing in, you know, into a conspiracy. When Greedy Williams was signed to the Eagles, I think it was last season, right? Last offseason?
Yeah, last offseason.
Devin White posted that, saying that he'll be there next, that he's on the way kind of thing. I personally feel like there was a big rift that happened in Tampa where Devin White just completely checked out, wanted out. They didn't give him the money that he wanted, whatever the case may be, and he took a prove-it deal with Philly. This is a 26-year-old talent, like you mentioned, John, and I still feel like there's something left in the tank for the Eagles to actually bring this kind of kid here. This can end up being a move where it's like, hey, like Nigel Bradham, where they brought him in, people were kind of off of him, He ended up staying in Philly for, you know, for a good part of his career. But the jury's still out. Like, majority of these defensive guys was kind of – it sucks. But at the same time, like, I feel like they're in a position where the offense this season can actually overcompensate for the lack of continuity on the defense.
I'll tell you what. I mean, they did pick up his fifth-year option, remember. They paid him, I think it was north of $15 million.
Oh, yeah.
Is that not a red flag to you guys, though? Brian?
Oh, it is to me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, he's getting paid $15 million. Oh, I wanted to be an Eagle. Well, that's not an excuse to not go out there and play your best ball. And after hearing from Vic Fangio, you hear about a couple of the guys in Miami who didn't really like Vic's style. He's an old-school style defensive coordinator. I don't think he's going to like that. I don't think he's going to like that attitude and that mentality. Now, maybe Devin brings a different attitude here, but sometimes you can't change your stripes on a cat.
Yeah,
so.
But you know what? I haven't heard a lot of, because I know a bunch of people down in Tampa who cover the Bucs, Rob Motti being one of them. Our buddy is always on the show now, national AP writer, but he's closest to the Bucs now. Ira Kaufman's down there, their Hall of Fame selector. JC Allen covers the Bucks. Know a bunch of Bucks writers. They all say the same thing. Not necessarily a bad guy. He's just undisciplined. He's always freelancing. He's not doing his job. He's not Bill Belichick and things. He's always overrunning plays. Almost to a man, everybody says the same thing. Maybe Vic can corral him and get him to be a little bit more disciplined. But Matt, my thing with linebacker, and I think we just went through it with TJ Edwards, and hopefully we're about to go through it with Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Instincts matter. And that's one of those things where I just don't think he's an instinctive player. Mm. And when you could be the best athlete in the world at linebacker, and you take one false step, you're out of the play.
Yeah.
Whereas the slow guy, like TJ Edwards, bang, he's right there. He's diagnosing the play. I think if I'm sitting there, Brian, the best case scenario for me for the Eagles at linebacker is Jeremiah Trotter or Ben Van Sumeren. The light coming off and those guys having a great summer, and they're out there with N'Kobe Dean, which is not a great position to be in, by the way.
I would love it if Van Sumeren actually took that next step, because I feel like they underutilized him a bit last season, which I get, it was a rookie, but he had an impressive summer, I feel like.
Or Zach Bond, I'll throw, because as you mentioned, Vic kind of threw
everybody's
us a
talking
ball.
About Zach Bond now after Vic.
But Vic, it was funny because Vic had to go to the roster. He was pulling the roster out of he couldn't remember the linebacker.
He's like, oh, linebacker?
Yeah. Like, yeah, this guy's gonna stand out.
That's not a good sign.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a little bit alarming. I do wonder, you know, with what I said about the NFL, like I think Howie's like following the league. The league is like, get rid of the hip drop tackle, get rid of this. Legislate defense out of the game. He's partly like, okay, I'm going to stack my offense. I'm going to go get Saquon Barkley. I'm going to get some young dudes on defense, get a seasoned coordinator, and that's going to be enough. And I think he might be right. If they can be 15th to 18th, I think they're a team that could go far, even with the defense being middle of the pack.
Yeah. I don't think you're wrong there. I've been saying that for a while. At B Cameron PSN, make sure you follow Brian on X, Twitter, managing editor for Philly Sports Network. So check him out there. Co-host of the Flippin' Birds pod. So listen to his podcast as well. Always good to catch up with you, Brian. Thanks for hopping on the show. And hopefully you're right with Devin White. But I don't know. I don't know.
I'm going to make a Saquon Barkley lover out of you, John. I promise you. Yeah. You're going to love the
signing. And by the way, I am a Saquon Barkley lover from a perspective as a person and a leader. Everybody loves Saquon Barkley. I just think they overrate him as a football player because he was the number two overall pick. And the NFL moves quickly. Mm-hmm. It's not in stasis. Hasn't been the same since the torn ACL. Good player, not a great player. That's my spin on Saquon Barkley.
We'll see how it all plays out. Brian Cameron, thanks for joining the show, man. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
Yep. See you, Brian. That's Brian Cameron from Philadelphia, from Philly Sports Network. Does a great job for them. We appreciate him joining the show. Good show today. Good week of shows this week, Johnny Mac. We got a little debates in there, which is good. I think it's always good to have some conversation where you're going back and forth debating. And I wonder, I got one more thing on the offense. I wonder if, you know, you keep saying the Saquon signing is not Eagles, right? It's not like
it's not Eagles like now.
Yeah. Well, maybe are they shifting their opinion on how that position should be utilized? Is that uncharacteristic because maybe they've changed their thought process? Possible?
No. No. Howie's already talked about it. He said the zagging thing. We're zigging when everybody's zagging.
Yeah.
Look, I think it's a perfect example. The New York Giants were right to move on from Saquon Barkley. They're not in a position where a player like that matters. They're a bad football team. They haven't won with them.
They got to go back to the drawing board, build their trenches,
It was a disaster from their standpoint. In theory, from the Eagles standpoint, this is what Howie said, we're in a position to where we can utilize a player like this who can help us because we're on the precipice of being a contender. And that's his thought process, the zag and, you know, zig instead of zag.
Right.
It's ironic to me, though, that Howie created the zig or is one of the major points of it where the league has gone in that direction. And now he's trying to keep ahead of the curve by going in the other direction. I don't care about the contract.
No, because the contract's not as crazy as even the agent made it sound. It's really a two-year
They'll get out of it, and they'll be fine. It'll be 2 years. It'll be disappointing, and they'll move on quickly, and they'll get another competent back who makes the Pro Bowl as long as they have this offensive line intact. So it's not about that. It's about because he was the number two overall pick. And I love Brian, but let's be honest. People think they're getting the number two overall pick. They think they're getting a superstar player. And they're not. And they're going to be disappointed. They're getting a good player. You already had a good running back. Now you're getting a slightly better running back. Does that move the needle for you? All right. Enjoy it.
I got to be honest, John, and I normally agree with you, but I don't think Howie gave him that contract and said, okay, be a slightly better version of DeAndre Swift. If you're telling me they're not going to use him in a more expanded role, and we'll just take it to the top of the show here. We don't need to take another time out because we're almost out of time. But like, I don't see them giving him this contract and not giving him a slightly bigger role than what DeAndre Swift and Miles Sanders had. By the way, they were both 1,200 yard rushers. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. What do people think he's going to do?
Well, that's where I agree with you, but that's where I wonder if you're wrong, where it's like, they're going to use him more. Why would they pay him the money if they weren't? Why not just
let's pretend he's Christian McCaffrey. I don't even think people realize because Christian's, you know, one of the best ever. The Eagles love him. He's their white whale of this era.
Yeah.
They always wanted him. They can't get him. They're trying to replicate him as quickly as possible. Even Christian McCaffrey, his phenomenal for a running back, his entire career, 8.1, 8.1, 8.7, 8.8, 9.3, 8.4, 8.9, 8.4. If you're over 8 yards, as a receiver, you're phenomenal as a running back. You are a Hall of Fame level player. And that's what he's done consistently. That's the ceiling. Last year was his best year as a runner, 1,459 yards. That's the ceiling. You had 1,269 yards from Miles Sanders. And again, I'm not comparing. Saquon's better than Miles Sanders.
Yeah, but how much production are you going to get if you don't expand his role? I understand exactly.
But there's only – and by the way, Saquon's top season was 1,312 yards rushing. His receiving throughout his career, even the great year, 7.9, under 8. The only year he was over 8 was 8.4 in 2019. 2020 is a wipe. He only played 2 games. Then the last 3 years, 6.4, 5.9, 6.8. The expectations, we talked about that a lot this week, and I know we got to go. They're out of freaking whack, Xander. That's part of the problem. That's how I'm judging. The expectations are ludicrous. So I'm asking, and everybody can think about this on the weekend, jump in the chat and tell me, what are your expectations? They're not realistic.
Yeah, but John, you know that Howie makes good decisions, whether you agree with his decisions or not, or they work out or they don't. He generally has a sound.
He generally makes good decisions.
This philosophical time, approach to what he's going to do. I've said it. Wait a second. So is Saquon just going to be a bell cow back? Because remember, in 2022, this team was, they were a pretty heavy running team. A lot of people, like, they had that offensive line, which was a beastly offensive line. Like, they ran the ball a lot. Are they going to go back to that maybe, where they give Saquon a bell cow type of role in the offensive?
As much as you can be a bell cow back in the modern NFL, he's going to be a bell cow back. And that, to me, means 3-down player. As long as he's healthy, he's going to be a 3-down player. They're not going to be inserting Kenny Gainwell. They're not going to be doing some of the stuff they've done in years past. He's going to be a 3-down back. So that's your biggest difference. But as far as the production expectations, I just think they're so incredibly unrealistic. And again, I'll ask everybody to take the weekend and tell me what you expect, because
I don't care if the numbers go down, if they become a more versatile offense. That was my
point. And that's why I said, if they're more impactful, if he may, as long as he makes impactful plays, which is nebulous, and I get it, but you'll know him when you see him. Big spots, big plays, maybe because people aren't paying attention to him because of the other guys on the field. It'll work. But for those who think they're getting Jim Brown in his prime combined with the receiving ability of Jerry Rice, yeah, it ain't happening. I'm sorry, people. It ain't happening.
Great week of shows. Let me thank James Carver. We appreciate James. He's always out here giving us love, and we do appreciate his support of the channel. Even if Johnny Mack doesn't agree with you, James, we appreciate your support of Birds 365. He says, forget about Eagles system. If this were Dallas and Moore there, then how would Moore have used him? Can't assume Eagles do same with Moore this year as past, and not saying he's CMC. That's a good point. Like, how, is he going to use him like Moore used Zeke?
Maybe. What is that? All right. So what? Let's pretend he catches 80 passes. Which he's done.
Which I don't think he's going to do. And I don't think that. Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
Why would you want it to happen? Is my question. Why?
No. Yeah, because it takes away. But
that's my larger point. Like, that's the worst case scenario to me. Oh, we got to beat the ball to this guy.
And we're going to get in the weeds. I don't want to.
Yeah.
Is it a bad thing, though, to have the option, John? Like, I'm not saying to make him.
It's never a bad thing to have good players. He's a good player. That part of it, it's never a bad thing. I'm saying if he catches 70 passes, forget about 80. If he catches 60 passes, why would you want that with this team and their weapons? You know, If I had Philip Rivers, if I had Brock Purdy, if I had a different system, I would say, yeah, I want to get that involved. I want to do that more with this team and this talent. Yeah, I want to utilize my talent. I mean, to me, that's the definition of good coaching. And if you're going to give me, if I'm a coach And you're going to give me A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert, and Saquon Barkley. I'm going to want to use them all, and I'm going to use Saquon like he's a running back, and I'm going to let the other guys handle what they need to handle in the passing game. And, again, use Saquon judiciously. 70 catches, 60 catches? Yeah, I don't think that would be a good sign.
Yeah, I'm with you. We'll get out of here on that note. We'll see, John. We're going to have to kick this around a little more. It's nice to have some debate on the show and be able to go back and forth and get your opinion. Obviously, I respect what your opinion on the game, and I think your approach is makes sense. It does make sense to me, even though I might not fully agree with it. It does make sense. We'll get out of here. I want to thank everybody, all the people in the chat box. They've been great all week. They've been really supporting the show. I know I'm new on Birds 365. I've only been doing it now for 2 or 3 weeks. So I do appreciate all your guys' support as always. I'm getting better. I'm not Jody Mack, and I'm not going to try and be Jody Mack, but I will try and get better as always and work on my game, just like Saquon might be working on his game right now. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Don't forget to drop us a like on your way out. Johnny Mack, thank you for a great week of shows. We'll catch you Monday, all right?
All right, have a good weekend, everybody.
All right, everybody. Have a good weekend. We'll see you on Monday.